Welcome to the Employment Law and HR Podcast with your host, Allison Cauley.
Hello and welcome to this episode number 29 of the Employment Law and HR Podcast. I'm your host, Allison Cauley. Thank you very much for tuning in. It's great to have you here. For those of you who have tuned in to episode number 28, you will have heard that I've made a few changes to the podcast. And you may also notice that this podcast is coming to you a week after the last one. And the reason for that is because I've made a change to the podcast. The podcast is now a year old. And I'm fortunate enough to be nominated in the first UK Podcasters Awards. I'm in the finalist in the category for the best UK podcast, so no pressure. But that's taking place on the 12th of September. And so what I thought I would do is, the pressure's on, I would try to improve the podcast and provide even more value to you, my very loyal listeners. So what I'm going to be doing is bringing the podcast to you on a weekly basis. And I'm going to alternate between the normal format, which is me talking to you about an employment law update or a case or a particular area of law, and a HR best practice tip. And then the following week, it's going to be an interview with somebody who's influential in the profession, in HR, or who's a manager, or anyone who's got great value to provide to you, my listeners. This is the first interview that I have done on this podcast, and so please bear with me. I'm really pleased to be interviewing, in this week's podcast, Nicole Lemaire. Nicole describes her personal mission as "I do it my way." She is the proud CEO of The People Engine Limited, with brands such as New2HR and Human Resources Global. She's also an internationally recognised HR leader. She left the corporate workforce as an international HR director, and having gained global experience whilst living and working in over 30 plus countries with companies such as DHL, Vodafone, Epson and the National Guard of Health Affairs, she set up her own business to provide HR support. I'm really pleased to have with me today, for my very first interview on the Employment Law and HR podcast, Nicole Lemaire, who is the CEO of The People Engine Limited, which includes brands New2HR, Human Resources Global, and she is an internationally recognised HR leader. So great to hear from Nicole today. Thank you very much for coming on, Nicole. So what is The People Engine Limited all about?
Well, thank you, first of all, Alison, for having me and looking forward to our chat today. The People Engine is all about working with people around the globe. It's really becoming a hub of where we have different brands and work with different target groups or groups within the community, within the organizations that all fit into a different niche. And so that's really what we're working towards, is really building up a community of not only HR people, but also people that are interested in the people function in general.
And so you work all around the world?
That's correct, yes. I'm all over the place. So for the next couple of weeks, I'll be in Germany, Malaysia, UK, Holland, and it goes on and on like that.
Well, it sounds really interesting. So you must get a really good idea about the differences in culture in terms of working and employees. Is there anything, you know, really striking that's different about people in the UK, for instance, than other countries?
Every country, every culture has its varieties, and you would need to adapt the way you work. I'm Dutch from origin, and we're not very well known for our diplomacy. So that's from a UK perspective. When I first started out in the UK, that was really something I had to step back a little bit and think, okay, how would someone else within the UK look at this and not be that forefront that perhaps you would be in the Germanic countries. So there's different ways of dealing with different people and nationalities.
Of course. If you just tell us a bit then about how you got to the point that you're at now, to being the CEO of the People Engine.
Okay, so I started many, many years ago I first started out in some temp jobs working in a recruitment agency, and then really moved on up the ranks quickly in a variety of international companies. And always from really after my first 2 years of HR advisor, I was placed straight away outside of the countries I was focusing on. So they saw in me something and placed me outside of my home comfort mm-hmm. zone. And I was quickly moved into Africa, Asia, US, as well as Middle East at a very young age. So the company truly trusted and really developed me as a global HR person. And that has its pros and that has its cons. And the pros are that it's lovely to travel and move into different countries and really establish different frameworks in the organizations. The con is really, local is not interesting, because it is not who I've been, become and developed as an individual, but that's what allows the people engine really to take over from a global perspective.
Okay. And one of the brands within the people engine, which I'm most interested to hear about, is New to HR.
Yes. Well, this is really anecdotal. When I was so young, I was just going into my second job, promoted internally within an organization, and within 24 hours time, I was moved into Africa. And I had to pack my bags and go on this project here. And wow. At that moment, there was a merger and acquisition at the same time in Africa. And I was the only person from head office that was on the ground at that time. And I was relatively young. And I was thinking to myself, how, you know, who can help me really understand what's going on from a much more global perspective, and certain institutes didn't help me with that. It was all very much local based. There's a little bit change nowadays, but that's really why the idea started with New to HR, really to provide a platform for not only junior HR professionals, but also, you know, line managers, people that love working with people, to really provide something where they can just listen to from a webinar perspective, come to a boot camp, and really get the insights into how people work, but also how we work ourselves.
Yeah, because there's so much involved, isn't there, in dealing with HR and working with people. Not only from the sort of legal and legislative and, you know, all of the processes, but you've also got the sort of softer side of things. So is that the kind of thing that you're helping people with?
Yes, as well as we're focusing a lot on, at the moment, on the variety of generations in the workforce, as well as working on work-life balance. In the workforce and in the organizations, as well as normal HR projects that come along.
Okay, so what's the sort of thing that you're doing then, for instance, you described there about the different generations within the workforce. What sort of thing would you do to help somebody who's new to HR to get over that, or to help to deal with those sort of issues?
That's very interesting. We have a number of blogs coming out over the autumn on this topic, and one of the strategies is really to allow everybody to work within their own comfort zone and not to enforce anything on a particular generation. So if a person works preferably with mobile and mobile apps and tablets, and the other person rather works with paper and pen, and there needs to be a true comparison, but also a compromise in terms of what the organization wants to achieve in the future with that. And you can't take away of both these generations or what their preferred, for example, working method is. So it really needs to be something that is easily understood, but also allows for everyone to work, you know, within their own comfort zone.
Yeah, I suppose it's those kind of issues that I think
sometimes as employers, you don't really think about too much, because I'm, you know, I consider myself to be relatively young into the work. I'm only 35, but when I went to school, there was like one computer in the library that you occasionally got to use if you were lucky. And then you've got, you know, people in a younger generation. I've got a younger sister who's 20 and she's grown up with computers and uses them all the time and uses them in and out. So even just in that sort of generational gap, there are differences, aren't there? And then obviously people are working longer in life, and so I guess for employers and HR perspective, it's that dealing with those sorts of issues that they perhaps don't think about.
Yes, and if you look at from a communication perspective, it is really about the communication and then allowing each generation to at least get an understanding of how the other generation works. So it's quite interesting, and there's usually it's almost like a merger that happens, you know, a large multinational merger that needs to happen within, you know, even a team of four or five people. So that's quite fun to do as well. But also from a legal side, there's some, you know, predicaments that's mm-hmm. come up as well. So that's something probably you'll find or have already found out.
Well, I mean, I always advocate trying to deal with the issues before they even arise. So the kind of things that you're teaching with new to HR sound like that's perfect for that.
Yes, and it's interesting. Interesting focus as well, because if we're looking at the different generations, we ultimately come into, you know, technology and HR technology and how now companies are jumping into that digital perspective and adding digital platforms to their organization while actually not looking into, you know, what actually do our people need, what do our teams need. And that's where at the moment you see a lot of the struggles in terms of communication.
And it sounds to me as though you're really passionate about HR.
It's true. I love helping people, and that's really what I set up my business, especially new to HR. It was out of the love to help people. And I'm very passionate about HR, but also about I don't like to see people disadvantaged. And everybody needs to receive the same opportunities wherever they come from, whatever background. So that's really what I like to focus on from a people engine and new to HR perspective.
So I've just got a few questions to ask you, some specific questions that hopefully will add some value to our listeners. The first one is to ask you to tell me about an interesting event or incident involving HR and people management. Obviously, you know, you can keep this anonymous if you need to, but is there any particular incident or interesting event that would that you'd like to tell us about?
I think one really pops to mind, and that's one of the reasons why I actually left one of the companies I worked for, and I won't go into detail which company that was. But I was at very quite senior level working there, and it was abroad. So really focusing on attracting expatriates to the organization and to a new country in a very risky environment.
Okay.
And we hired a number of expatriates that came from the US, that came from Australia, Asia, Europe. And they uprooted their whole families, they sold their houses, they left their careers behind in their home countries and came to our organization, which I wasn't very comfortable with from a more a framework and policy perspective. I think it's much better to do it, you know, you'll get one or two people in, and then in 3 months' time you get another one or two people in. They all came at the same time, and I'm talking about 20 to 30 people, uprooted their whole families, took their families with us to our organization and started working for us. Within 3 months' time, the organization changed their mind in terms of their strategy, and I, as a senior HR professional, had to actually terminate all these expatriates on behalf of the CEO. And that's really, then you become into a very legal, ethical perspective. And I think that was really bad management, you know, and I made it very clear that, you know, if that happens, then that's for me a reason actually to also leave. And that's what I did, and I made sure that all those people actually found different jobs as well. So I worked very hard pro bono for all my expatriates to be placed into roles, which happened in the same region, so they didn't have to move back home and didn't lose their careers. But I think that's one of the things, especially from a global perspective, that happens a lot, and on a local perspective, probably a little bit less. But that's very difficult because, you know, what focus do you take, and what, you know, do you keep your own values, or do you actually follow what your CEO says? And that's where HR always is a little bit sensitive on.
Yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it, in those situations? And you're really the messenger or the voice, aren't you, for the CEO? And you're trying to do everything correctly from a legal perspective, but also keeping in mind the people side of it. Yeah, it's one of the trickiest parts of the job, I would have to say.
It is, and you know, as in certain countries, the legal focus is not that great. You know, it's not like the Western world where there's a lot of, you know, protection for employees and as well as employers. And that makes it even more difficult to work in, because there's no boundaries. You can do whatever. And it's still today that way. You go as far as you can go ethically. But then there needs to be decisions made as well, in terms of actually, do I want to work for a company that way and this way?
Yeah, and I suppose now you're the CEO of your own organisation, and certainly now I run my own business, you do have a different perspective on things than when you just work in HR or in an organisation.
I think it's a 360 change in terms of thinking and what you can do. You know, I like to, from a people engine perspective, like to work with teams that have a similar mindset, but really fill up the weaknesses that I as a person have. And I think if you take it from that perspective, you know, and if the organization had taken it from that perspective, they wouldn't have never had to actually hire 25 to 30 people and you know, uprooted them. So looking from owning your own company, I love it. And I work with people that have a similar mindset, and I only work with people that I think, okay, actually, you know, need actual help and organizations that really can do, you know, with their support. So it's an exciting time from that aspect as well, to see what, you know, what other changes will be there in terms of global international law.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, in the UK, obviously, we're heavily governed by what happens in Europe, and that certainly has a massive effect at the moment on employment law. Obviously, with a proposed referendum on the EU membership and all that sort of thing, there could be changes. But as you say, as businesses become more global, they have to deal with the global reputation as much as their local, and that, with that comes the local customs and local laws,
as well as the customs and the traditions that go against every grain in your body. You know, if you come from a particular standpoint, and it does mean that you need to be a lot more flexible and need to be adaptable, sometimes close your eyes to stuff that, you know, from a European perspective, you actually will never allow. But in those circumstances, that's very normal to allow it. So, you know, it's interesting.
Well, I only deal with the jurisdiction in the UK. So, and that's bad enough for me to keep up to date with what's going on, the changes in the law and cases and that sort of thing. How do you stay on top of changes, or, you know, on a global perspective and changes from a legal and HR?
I have similar to you. I have a number of lawyers and solicitors I work with. So when I go into a country on a particular project that then needs a lot of legal advice, first of all, I would definitely read up on the labor laws and what else is going on in the country from an international perspective on the law front. And any agreements or any decisions will always be verified with local lawyers as well as international focused solicitors. So I think that's the main way to actually work within the law and know really what you're talking about. So I would never step into a country without knowing actually the labor law. And in countries like, for example, Germany, this means books and books and books of of labor law, which is a daunting if it's never been, for example, translated.
So is there a particular resource? I know you say you use local lawyers to help you with the legal aspects, but is there a resource that you subscribe to or something that you would recommend to people if they want to keep on top of local laws and HR practices?
It really depends, and that's why I couldn't really say one specific source. It really depends because every country is so different. And of course, there's some really good lawyer firms that have international fact sheets that are very helpful, you know, from a basic perspective. But really, I would really advise to meet up with somebody locally to or a specialist in that particular region.
Okay, thank you. Now, we all know that working in HR can be very stressful at times. And I just wondered if you have a recommendation for relaxation and de-stressing. So you've had one of those meetings where you have to deliver bad news to the staff on behalf of the CEO or something like that. How do you relax and de-stress?
It's very difficult. It really depends also the situation and also the organization you're in. I think it's always very good to really make sure that you've got everything off your chest, whether that's speaking to another colleague about, you know, your concerns or the issues, or you know, speaking to somebody externally from a family or a friend perspective. And once you've done that, then you can really, you know, relax in terms of whether you like walking, cycling, all this stuff. I think it's important to have something next to work from an HR perspective. That's not only work, you need to do something else next to it.
Talking to other people is a great one, isn't it? Definitely getting it off your chest. So what would be your top tip then for business owners or managers or HR professionals? What would be your number one tip if you could give one?
I would think really to stay yourself and in any possible way. It doesn't matter if, you know, you blush. It doesn't matter if you stumble. If you need to stay yourself with whatever you do. And people will respect you for staying yourself. But as soon as you start adapting to what people want to see within an organization, within a project, you'll start losing what you focus on from a value perspective. And straight away, you'll feel uncomfortable. So part of the relaxation and de-stressing is also really stay yourself. And there will always be people that you know, you're prefer working with or lesser prefer working with, and that's not a problem. You can't be friends with everybody, but you can respect, and by creating that respect, you need to stay yourself.
I think that's a really great tip as well. Excellent, thank you. And then just a little bit about you at the end, really, is if you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you do instead? So if you weren't working in HR, what would you be doing instead?
You know, I've been really thinking about this over the past months, you know, as we're all growing with new to HR. And it's very interesting. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. There's no plan B. and also from a personal development perspective, I love what I do. I couldn't think of anything what I love doing else what I do now.
No, that's really good. Yeah, I'm with you there. I think I've always wanted to do this, and I love it too. So I'm with you completely. Okay, so that's it then, really, for the interview today. Thank you, Nicole. Is there anywhere that people can find out more about you, about New to HR and the People Engine?
Of course, we're very active on social media. We have a lot of accounts. Definitely check us out on Twitter at new2hr. Very easy, or send us a mail on info@new2hr.com, and we'll be ready to answer or support you in whatever you need. And I think what you're doing, I think, is wonderful. I think there's a lot of necessary need to it, and also in this format from a legal perspective. So thank you very much.
No, thank you for coming on. And what I'll do is I'll make sure that I put all the links to Nicole's social media in the show notes, as well as a short bio, so people can find out more about you and get in contact if they want to. Thanks very much.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
That was my interview with Nicole Lemaire. I hope that you enjoyed this first interview and that you like the new format for the podcast. If you would like to be interviewed on the podcast, or you've got something that you'd like to say, then please do get in touch. I'd be happy to have you on the podcast. You can contact me. It's alison@realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk. And you can find out more details about Nicole Lemaire in the show notes, which you can find at adviceforemployers.co.uk/podcast/29. So thanks very much for listening. For those of you who would like to and haven't already voted for me in the UK Podcasters Awards, you've got until the 31st of August. So when this podcast goes out, you've only got a couple of days to put your vote in. I will put a note in the show notes so you can find the link. If you haven't already done so, I'd be really grateful if you could vote for me. And I hope that you have a great week. Many thanks. Thanks again for listening. Just want to finalise by saying I wouldn't be a lawyer unless I had a legal disclaimer. So I must just say to you that the information in this podcast is for information only. It's a general review and a general update. It's always necessary to get specific legal advice about your circumstances. So please don't rely on anything that you've heard in this podcast. But please do feel free to contact me if you'd like further information or specific advice.